We celebrated on Good Friday that Jesus was crucified on our behalf, but before that, in what the other gospel writers call the Last Supper, we see that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And if you were with us on Friday or you watched online, you know, Pastor Adam said that what was happening there was that Jesus was symbolically offering a regular cleansing that people need from our sins, from the need to confess and to regularly deal with our stuff. But also he says that there's some who really need a bath. I really have never come to Jesus before in a saving way. And so I pray today that you would grasp a little bit of what Good Friday is all about in the atonement, that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins on the cross, died a death that we deserve to die in our place, and was laid in a tomb. And liturgically, we celebrate that today is the day that he was raised from the dead, that he is alive and well, reigning with the Father in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father in an unshakable kingdom. And we are grateful for that. If you have a copy of the scriptures, we're going to turn to John 20. We've been going through a series in the book of John. And we're going to look here at just really the first 10 verses of the gospel writer's account of what he heard, what he saw. And he's telling us, as he says later on, I'm telling you these things so that you may believe. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, which we believe is John, who wrote this gospel. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, as bold as ever, then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And I think John is painting us a picture there that Jesus took this off, or maybe the angels helped take this off, and he just carefully laid it aside and said, I don't need this anymore. He lays it aside. Verse 8, finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, John really wants us to know that he got there first. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed, but catch this. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. The resurrection is of critical importance to the faith. If the resurrection doesn't happen, what does it mean about Jesus? What does it say about his teachings? What's it mean if he's still in the tomb and we could go visit it today? If there was a shrine built around it and there was a dead body inside there, what would that mean? Have you ever thought about that before? And so in terms of what was happening in this reality, the cross that Jesus was crucified on meant that he was a convicted criminal, that he offended the state of Rome and the Pharisaical laws of his day. He was a sinner in Jewish eyes and deserved to die. The resurrection means that Jesus is a vindicated hero. Do you see it? If he's out of the tomb, it means all those accusations, they must be false, because he is risen from the dead. Who else has done that? He is the sinless Lord of all. And instead of being a convicted criminal, he is a sinless Savior. Instead of just preaching and giving us the failed wisdom of a flawed rabbi, he's the final word of a forgiving father. Instead of being a dead revolutionary, he offers decisive redemption. Instead of being a loser, the resurrection says, he's the Lord. He's the King. The resurrection is incredibly, incredibly important to our faith. Romans 1, Paul says that Jesus was declared in power to be the Son of God by his resurrection. In power. If it doesn't happen, he's in weakness. He's in the grave. But in power, the Holy Spirit raises him and says, this is the Son of God. And so today, just very briefly, I want to look at two different things that the resurrection begins. The resurrection begins new creation. We're going to look a little bit at what that means for us personally. And we're going to see that the resurrection is the beginning, actually, of understanding. The resurrection should actually be the foundation of our beginning of understanding for who Jesus is and who God is and who we are in him, which maybe you've heard differently. All right, so the resurrection is the beginning of new creation. Why do I say that? Well, did you catch that it says on the first day of the week? They go to the tomb when? On the first day of the week while it was still dark. On the first day of the week. This is Genesis language. On the first day of the week. On this day, God did this. On this day, God did this. Remember, this is all the way back to the book of Genesis, which should trigger in our minds how John started his gospel. Do you remember his first words in John 1? In the beginning. He's telling us a Genesis account. That's what happens in Genesis. In the beginning, God spoke. And here we have now, on the first day of the week, there is a new creation taking place. It's a throwback to John 1. And what he's saying is, this is a new day. There is a new light. This is why a lot of churches will do a sunrise service. Aren't you grateful we don't do that? Maybe some of you are like, I wish we did that. I do not. I was up this morning. I got to see the sunrise. And I was like, but man, organizing a service would be, whew. Okay. Anyway, sorry, sidebar. It's a new day. There's new light beaming into the darkness of the night. And there's a new day dawning. And the scriptures say, for the cosmos. It's an entire new creation that's beginning because of the power of the resurrection. But not just way out there in the cosmos. John's telling us, for you too. For me. There is a new creation starting because of the resurrection. In scripture, going all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to Genesis 3, we see that humanity has a problem with what's called sin, right? And maybe you've heard this word before. Maybe you've grown up in a church and that word is like big and scary and intimidating to you. Sin is this: walking away from God and saying, I'm going to worship other things. That's at the core of what it means to be a sinful, broken human being. Saying, I'm going to worship other things. I'm going to find my life in other things. And because humanity did that, God said, okay, you are removed from eternal life. You cannot keep eating from the tree of life. You're going to be forbidden to live forever. And we've talked about this plenty before. And you might think, well, that's just ancient humanity. I'm better. The truth is, if you're honest with yourself, you know you're not. You know you're not. The same thing that, you know, you might see a murderer on the news and think, that person, they deserve X, Y, Z for judgment. But the same thing that caused that person to be murdered is also in our hearts that says, I hate that other driver that crossed me on the road like that. I hate that teacher did that thing to me. I hate that that spouse did that thing to me and betrayed me in that way. That hatred in our heart is actually what leads to murder. You see, it's actually inside of all of us. I can't believe that that company would extort all of that money, but I'm going to tell this little white lie on my test over here. You see it? It's actually inside of all of us. And the Bible says it's a big problem. It's a chasm between you and God. You cannot come to me. You cannot have eternal life because of the sin that is inside of your hearts. Paul says in Romans 6 that the wages of sin is death. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. When we sin, it leads to death, separation from God and pain and brokenness and death in this world. And what the gospel writers tell us, what they want us to see and what Jesus orchestrates in being crucified on Passover is that all of the sin and the darkness of our hearts are placed on him. They're all placed on him on the cross. The punishment that we deserve, the separation from God that we deserve, it gets put onto Jesus on Good Friday. And he's laid in the tomb. But do you see what happens when he's resurrected? What that means for you and what that means for me is that sin no longer has the last word. The sin that deserves death no longer has the last word on humanity. Why? Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. He has overcome the sin. The sin was judged. Sin was crucified in the flesh, Paul says. He's laid in the tomb, but he's raised to new life. Meaning what? He has overcome. His righteousness has overcome sin. His life overcomes death. And what John tells us is that when you believe in Jesus, when you take him on as Lord, he says, you can be made new. You can be born again. Your sins are also forgiven and are placed on Jesus. When you take that on for yourself, he says, you can be made new. All things are being made. You are being made new. You're being made into new creation. You can be born again, if you are in him. Some of the most important words in all of Scripture, in Christ. If you are in Christ, you are in his resurrection. If you're in Christ, your death, your sins are in his death, and your life is found in his resurrection. Several years ago, I was driving down the road, and we used to live in New Jersey, and there was a law that said you could not be on your cell phone. I don't advise this while you're driving anyway, but you could not be on your cell phone while you are driving. And I was overseeing short-term mission trips for my church I used to work at, and we had a team in Iraq. And they called me while I was driving down the road. So when you're a short-term missions pastor and you get a call from your team in Iraq on your cell phone driving down the road, you don't say, maybe later. There's a problem of some sort. And so I answer the phone. And no sooner had I answered the phone than it was like police behind me. I don't even know where they came from. I was so distracted by the phone call. They were like, gotcha, right? And I get pulled over. And as he's pulling me over, Jess says, hey, didn't Tommy, now Tommy was a police officer friend of mine. She said, didn't Tommy give you one of his cards? And I said, yeah, but I don't know. She's like, you give him the card. So he's like, license, registration. I'm like, license, registration, and my card from Tommy. Here you go. And I give it to him. And he goes, oh, how do you know Tom? I said, oh, we go to church together. And he's like, all right, stay off the phone. Done. That was it. That was the end of the police stop. And I was like, okay. Pulled over at a gas station. I got to call Iraq back. You know what I mean? It's like, I got to get on the phone. But because I was in Tommy, so to speak, in that moment, because I'm wrapped up in him, because he's my friend, the guy says, you're released. You're free. And what the scriptures teach us is that when we say we're in Jesus, we take him on as Lord, God says, sins are forgiven. And the resurrection proves it. The resurrection proves that sin no longer has the last word. And so we claim this for ourselves. We say, Jesus, I want you, and I want the forgiveness that's in you. And thank God you have been resurrected from the dead, because it means that sin is no longer over me either. It no longer means that I'm going to spend an eternity separated from God. It means I have found new life. I can be made new. We can be brought into new creation. And so the second part of this is that the resurrection means that eternity starts now. This is so core to who we are as a church, friends, that eternity starts now. Eternity is not just something that we wait to get to someday, that eternal life has started now, that eternity is not just quantity of time, it's also quality of life now. And the resurrection shows us that eternity has started. Heaven has been brought forward. Do you see it? Jesus, the eternal one, comes and says, I'm still alive. I have overcome death. Eternity has started. Do you want it? Do you also want this eternal life? Do you want to be in this with me? Jesus has brought heaven forward. And if eternity has begun in our hearts when we follow Jesus, if the Spirit has been put inside of us, if forgiveness of sins has been purchased for us, it means that sin no longer enslaves us now. Now, you might not get up tomorrow morning and think, I'm enslaved by sin. But again, if you're honest with yourself, if you took a good hard look at your soul, you would know, actually, I am. I can't stop that lying. I don't want to talk about that baggage, that skeleton in the closet of that shameful thing that I did all those years ago. I can't stop lusting. I'm so greedy. Oh man, I wish I wasn't so selfish, or I'm so harsh with my kids or my spouse, or, I'm always disgruntled at work and angry at everything. It's all part of this idolatry in our hearts. And what the scriptures tell us is that when we come into Jesus and we accept this eternity into our hearts, it says that actually no longer needs to enslave you. Because of the power of the risen Jesus, the resurrected Jesus inside of you, you have the ability to squash sin. Now, I'm not saying you're going to achieve perfection before heaven. The older I get, the more I realize it's not going to happen. But the more freedom I find in saying, yeah, but I don't need to pick this sin anymore. And I don't need to pick this sin anymore. And I can find full life in this area instead of it leading to death. Because of the power of the resurrected Jesus living inside of me, living inside of you, we no longer have to be chained. We can be transformed. Friends, you can change. You can change because of the power of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, Jesus living inside of you. And that's eternity. That's the full life that is purchased for us now, that we get to actually experience now. But the other thing, and Jess alluded to this earlier, the other thing we have to look forward to is eternity with God. Knowing him now, overcoming sin now, no more shame now, but also eternal life forever. What this means, friends, is that if we are in Jesus and we are in his resurrection, that we live even though we die someday. How many of you are going to die someday? Right? Something we don't like to think about. We don't like to think about that. But the truth is, our days are numbered. We don't get to pick. Lord, give us wisdom that we can number our days. But when we are in Jesus, the empty tomb is also ours someday. Do you understand this? Do you understand what confidence that can give you to live life? To know that no matter what you face, as bad as it gets, we will live again someday. And these broken, shabby bodies that are getting saggier and grayer, and they hurt every night, and you have to do stretches that you don't want to do, like someday, no more. Someday, no more. Revelation says that someday, no more sin, no more death, no more crying, no more dying. Why? Because Jesus has been resurrected from the grave. And he says, all of you who are in me, that's the promise for you. That's the promise for you. Eternal life now and forever. The empty tomb, friends, is also yours. Paul picks up on this in Romans 6. I encourage you to turn there. We'll throw it up on the screen for you. He's saying this in several different ways. Romans 6, 5 to 10 says this. For if we have been united with him, meaning Jesus, in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Do you see it? He's saying Jesus has died once for all of us. And when we are in him, we're also in his resurrection. Meaning someday, these frail, broken, sin-riddled bodies will be raised from the dead, alive, gloriously, looking like we should look, acting like we should act, worshiping God like we should worship God, made fully alive. Taste it now. Walk in eternity now. But also we have the hope of looking forward to it someday, that death will not keep us in the grave. We will be raised to new life with Jesus. See, the resurrection is the beginning of new creation. Do you see it? It's the first day of the week. Things are being remade. You can be remade because of the sin and brokenness in your life has been paid for, and you can participate in eternity now and someday. Secondly, the resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of understanding. What do I mean by that? The resurrection of Jesus can be the foundation of your faith, and I would say should be the foundation of the Christian faith. Do you notice there it said, on the first day of the week when it was still dark? If you've been following along in the book of John, you know that this theme of dark and light has gone back and forth the whole time. And Jesus kept saying, I am the light. I am the light. Whoever walks in me will never walk in darkness. Walk in the light while you have the light. And then when Judas betrays him, John tells us, and then it was night. And it stays dark as his crucifixion transpires, the judgment and all these things. It stays dark until Mary comes to the tomb. It's still dark. You see light start to come back into the picture here until Jesus fully is seen by them, and they can grasp the light again. But I think there's another layer to this. Did you catch this? That Mary, the disciples, they're still a little bit in the dark, so to speak. They don't quite understand what's happening. They don't fully grasp all that's going on in the scenario. Did you catch that? That John goes in. John, the quick one, finally goes into the tomb. He sees nothing there, and he tells us, and he believed. He believed. Good on him, right? He believed. And then parenthetical statement, yet they did not understand everything. What's that mean? What's that mean for you today? They believed. He sees there's an empty tomb. He believes the resurrection. He believes something has happened, yet he did not fully understand. Friends, it is okay to believe and not yet fully understand. By the way, that's the kind of church we are for you guests. A church that says, we believe, we don't know everything. We're walking with Jesus, trying to figure it out with one another, looking at the scriptures, listening to the Spirit, trying to figure it out as we go. The resurrection is the most important thing. Stop. Like, the most important thing. It is the light that sheds wisdom onto everything else that we're trying to encounter in the scriptures and in life. But you might have questions. Questions are okay. God can handle all the skepticism. He can handle the doubts. He can handle the questions. When Jess and I bought our first house, we bought a foreclosure, and it was a disaster. And we went and looked at the house, and it was a house, I think it was built in like 1955. But the bones of the house were solid, if you know what I mean. It was a rancher, so single level, had a basement, foundation was good, the joists were good, everything was good about it. And we knew that if we could fix this thing up, it would be worth a good amount of money. But man, we had so many questions about that place. There were so many things that we needed to do to fix up, and there were so many weird things about it. It was a weird place. We went upstairs in the attic, and we found a box of... Remember when motel keys used to have that plastic tag on it? You're like, you old people are like, yeah, I remember that. You're also like, wait a minute, I've never stayed in the motel. All right. It was a box of motel keys in the attic that the guy left. I'm like, why do you have these? Like, who doesn't give these keys back? Why do you have boxes and boxes of rolled up posters? I was like, why do you have these? Several copies of the Friday's manual. Like for working at the restaurant. We're like, what? Why did you keep these? Why are these here? The best thing, there was a VW camper bus in the backyard that had been there so long that a tree was growing up through the middle of it. We're like, why? Why is it? Like, why did you let this happen? But despite all the questions, we knew one thing, the foundation was solid. We knew that the foundation was solid and it was worth investing in. What the resurrection tells us is, this is what you believe in. This is the foundation. All the other stuff, you can work it out as you go. Start with Jesus and the resurrection. Start with simply Jesus and the resurrection. Everything else from there can be worked out. Listen, I'm in a church and I'm a pastor. There are some weird Christians out there that have negatively influenced the faith, but they're not simply Jesus. They're not the power of the resurrection. You may have been hurt by church leaders, and I'm sorry for that. It's a horrible offense to God and his children. And it's wrong. But church leaders are not simply Jesus. Look to Jesus and the resurrection. Understand that. Build on that foundation. Listen, the scripture is our authority. All right? This is our authoritative word. It's the norming norm, as we say. The scripture, church tradition, the Spirit, the community, together, we try to discern what God is saying. There's some confusing, weird stuff in here, right? If you're honest, you can be like, yeah, that's okay. You can say that. That's okay. So when I come to things and I'm like, I don't understand this. You know where I go? The resurrection. I say, okay, Jesus, help me interpret this weird passage through the lens of the resurrected Jesus. What are you saying? What does it mean? Always like, oh, the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's a God of grace and mercy, particularly if you start to see him through the lens of Jesus. See him through the lens of the resurrection. What's he doing all the way back there? Questions start to become a little bit clearer. My point in all of this, the resurrection is the beginning of understanding, not all those other things. So go there. You got questions, concerns? Great. Bring them to God. Start at the resurrection. Do you believe that or not? That's the foundation. That's the truth that we build on. There's a lot of other things out there that are muddy waters, but the starting point is simply Jesus. And so I'll wrap up. Over the next few weeks, we're going to continue on in this series of John, and we're going to look at Mary's interaction with Jesus, Mary Magdalene. We're going to look at Thomas's, doubting Thomas, poor guy. We're going to look at doubting Thomas and his interaction with Jesus. And we're going to look at Peter and the other disciples and their interaction with Jesus. And what you'll see is they are all on a journey, just like you are, just like I am. They're all on a journey trying to understand more. They got a lot of questions. They believe the resurrection. They see Jesus, but they're like, I don't understand. And Jesus is like, let me reveal the scriptures to you. Let me show you who I am. And I've been here all along. Start with the resurrection. So listen, I'm going to invite you to walk with the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd who went before us into death on our behalf, who paid the penalty for our sins that we could never pay. He was laid in the tomb that we deserve to be laid in. His intimacy with God was broken so that ours could be found, so that we could be made new. And in his resurrection, when he is raised to new life, he says, sheep, come follow me. Come follow me. Come find new life in me. Come be part of new creation and live in resurrection power. And it's a journey. Friends, it is a journey to walk with Jesus and to understand. But start with the resurrection. Let that be what today is for you. A foundational moment to say, I don't understand all the rest, but I believe who Jesus is, that he is a good and loving God who came and paid the price for my sins, and that he was raised from the dead, that he is alive and well today. Friends, Jesus is not just a convicted criminal. He is the sinless Savior. He's not a failed preacher with flawed wisdom. He is the final word of God, the forgiveness of God for you and for me. He is not just a dead revolutionary that we can go look at his grave. He is decisive redemption for me and for you. Jesus, this is what Easter means, friends. Jesus is not some loser in a grave somewhere. He is the Lord. Do you believe that? Will you build your life on that? Will you find resurrection life and eternal life in him today?